listen, you got someone in your life, someone you love, could be a parent, it could be a spouse, maybe one of your children, a coworker, and you guys wrestle with control. Who's in charge? Who's in charge of this whole relationship? Like, there's just not an equality in communicating and a maturity in getting along. Here's a statement, and we're going to unpack it today, and I'm going to help you be intentional, because the weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. The weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. So what do I do, Randy? Let's talk about it. Dr. Randy here along with Jennifer and Steven, the rest of the team. Love to have you join in. And let's stay positive here. I want to know how you have lovingly and maturely, underline that word, lovingly, maturely, been managing a relationship with a person who what maybe we would define as being emotionally weak. Or maybe you're one of the callers that we're going to share with you today, too, who have been honest and said, I raised my hand. It's me. You know, I have to admit, I've been a little too controlling or what have you with my kids or my family, and it's created some issues. Let's get healthy together today. Okay, let's get a little bit healthier today, all of us, because you know what? We were just joking here in the studio, and I was saying, hey, if everybody would be just like us, life would be great. Hey, hello. Because all of us struggle with this. Because of sin, we have a weakness that just go through humanity, and so we struggle with this thing about control. Weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship, 888-888-1717. In fact, I'm going to do a little teaching. I want to define what weakness means, because you may be defining it differently than I am. And I want to give a definition of weakness. But just before we do, I want you to hear a caller that I had, a call that I had with Juliet in Arizona. And she's just really honest, talking about being controlling in her family. And I kind of set the mood. And then I'm going to come back and kind of flesh this out for us to understand what weakness really is in a relationship. And we'd love to have you come and join in a positive way. How have you managed that in yourself or in your relationship? 888-888-1717.
I've learned that I was controlling in my household over my kids and trying to control my husband out of fear. Mm-hmm. And the fear was that things wouldn't go right, or just out of, you know, complete fear. And I've learned to surrender to God that He is the ultimate protector, and He has everything planned out that, you know, I don't need to get in the way and try to control everything. And in doing so, I stifled, you know, my husband, and that's disrespectful, you know, to do. And I've been surrendering over and, you know, doing things differently, not my own way, but it's been really nice. And I think that I was doing it out of fear for so many years.
Interesting. Fear is one of those emotions that we get hijacked, and it can cause us to do things like control, because we feel like maybe I can deal with the fear by controlling, and it only makes things worse in the long run, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's another thing to surrender over to the Lord and just trust in Him. So yeah. Thank God for day by day, step by step, just constantly turning over and surrendering to the Lord.
Why is it we keep messing up our lives and our relationships with some of this really foolish things that we do, and just because of our own immaturity? And I'm talking about myself and all of us, and each of us when it comes to our relationships, because this is true. The weakest person in a relationship starts to control the relationship, and nobody wants to be controlled, especially in an intimate relationship like marriage, right? Now, let me define what weakness means. Anger is controlling. That's weak. We use anger negatively as a controlling mechanism in a relationship. The Bible says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't be stupid in a relationship. Don't use it to control somebody. If we have an anger issue, we need to deal with it. It's kind of an overcompensation. Moodiness is a controlling behavior. It's a weakness. Have you ever noticed little kids who won't speak? They're just real silent. You can hardly hear them. You know, that can be controlling too, can it? Because it forces you to get down on your hands and knees and listen to them. They've got you in the palm of their hands. Come on, parents. Withdrawing from an issue in a marriage, not willing to sit down and talk about something, hiding like a turtle, pulling your head back in, that is in a form of controlling as well. That's weakness. Criticalness, being critical of another person, is a form of controlling. It's weak. So how do you lovingly, maturely manage a relationship? Or maybe this is you. Come, let's join the discussion. Let's get a little healthier today. This is Intentional Living at 888-888-1717. So how do you do that? You know, the Bible, when you talk about this thing of control, which, by the way, we have very little control in life. Come on. You don't control your spouse. You think you do, but you don't. You think you control your kids. You don't. You can train them. The Bible does not say, control your kids and they'll grow up and be what you want. The Bible says to train up your child in the way they should go. And I looked through scripture and I only saw control show up in one place. It's in the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit is controlling your spouse. not. Or somebody else. No. Come on, you say it with me. The fruit of the Spirit includes self-control. It begins with us. Here's a fact. We have control over our thinking. We have control over our words. We have control over our attitude. We have control over our habits. But we don't have control beyond that first circle into the next circle of other people. And when we try to control them through any of these measures, anger, moodiness, being withdrawn, or being critical, we damage that relationship. So what do we do? That's part of what we want to do unpack here in the next. We're going to help you in the next 20 minutes. Either you being the person that is demonstrating weakness in the relationship, or someone that you know that you love and you care for that you're struggling with, by sharing how are you handling it. Give me a call. 888-888-1717. Let's go.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
The weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. More than just physical weakness, the weakest person emotionally, spiritually, relationally, tends to govern the speed and the quality of honest communication and closeness. In marriage and family life, this reality is very difficult to grow or even maintain intimacy. It must be addressed. The Bible warns us that two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. This problem must be addressed to gain peace and freedom in your relationships. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with this Intentional Living Minute. I'll talk more about this critical topic at the Night of Hope coming to Glendale, Arizona on June the 6th. I invite you to join me and learn how to build intimacy in your marriage and how to experience hope in your personal life. Tickets available right now at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Hey, listen, that's exactly what I'm going to be doing there at the Night of Hope, June 6th. That's what? Just 3 weeks away, coming to Glendale, Arizona, Phoenix area, the Haven Church, along with some great music with Jordan St. Cyr. Kank from The Morning Show, Mike Kankelfritz from The Morning Show is going to be there, and I get to teach, and we're just going to have a great night experiencing hope and in our life, singles, married, young, old, bring some other folks. Let's see what God can do that night. All right. Tickets, by the way, are available today at theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. And you'll find what you need there. All right. Let's get to the calls talking about this thing of being controlling, and we all struggle with it at some level, don't we? Tracy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, great. I'm great. Thank you. I just want to say I listen to you daily, and I just enjoy your show so much. You've brought a lot of comfort and reasoning to me on a daily basis. So I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. You made my day, Tracy. I appreciate it. How do you relate to this topic today?
Every topic you talk about with marriage, I relate to. It's just a different topic, but today it really hit me, and I've never called in. I have actually never called into a show in my life, so something was calling me to call into you this morning. So, my husband and I have been married for 35 years, and I guess I'm the weak one, but I'm not, because I don't tolerate any actions that, you know, that he tries to, and I don't think he tries to manipulate. I just think it's his mechanism. So he will get angry. He will not speak to me. He, you know, does, like I said, these kind of actions, and then I retreat and I just ignore.
Uh-huh.
Like you said, I'm the turtle. I go into the shell, and it's like, but then days and days go by and there's no reconciliation. There's no communication. There's really never been any communication in our marriage. And I don't know how to make it better. I don't know. I tried to go to a church that we go to here in Gilbert, and he just will not. Kate, he does not open up. I've prayed about it my entire life. So yeah, I
All right. So you're both believers, Tracy? You're both a Christian?
No, I mean, both believers, yes, but he does not participate. Like, he won't go to church. He, you know, he's mm-hmm. never been a part of that. He's, you know, he's a Catholic, you know, from his family, but we go to a non-denomination church here in Gilbert, and no, he does not.
All right,
and
so,
if he goes, he makes it miserable.
So you go, and he doesn't.
No.
All right, and this has been a lifelong. You've been married 30 plus years. It's been true throughout your marriage, or
pretty much. I mean, we you know, we have four children, and we started going to this non-denominational church probably 15 years ago, and he, yeah, that's when he pretty much stopped going and hasn't participated in any way, shape, or form.
Let me ask you this, Tracy. If I had your husband on the phone right now, and to the best of your ability, tell me, why do you think he gets angry? What is it that you think creates that for him in terms of his relationship with you? If you were being transparent and just objective as possible, what do you think he would say?
I don't think he likes me. Like, I don't think he, I think, I just don't know that he likes me. I don't know that he, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, we've had a lot of turmoil. He moved out for 4 years, a couple years ago. And then we have grandkids, and we have an amazing family.
Yeah.
And he moved, and so, you know, he came back home, but it hasn't, it's not any better. It's like, we're just roommates. We're just roommates.
Well, I talk about that. In fact, I talk about, you know, we can either be a roommate. That's what you have at college, right? You kind of get along for a while, but you're not really your roommates. Or you can be soulmates, which is really, and that's really a goal. And I know it's a term that, you know, has different meaning, but the idea of you're really connected at that deep soul level, that's really what God's intention is. Or we get like prison mates. You're stuck. And that's a painful thing, you know, in a relationship. You know, I think, Tracy, it would be nice if we could snap our fingers and change people. We can't. And one of the things that we teach here and we understand is that I can only control the circle that I'm in, the 3-foot rule, as we call it. In fact, I was joking with the staff. We have a 3-foot rug in the teaching area, and I stand in there when I teach, and I'm saying, this is the extent of my control. You all should have a little 3-foot kind of a rug that you go stand on when you're trying to control someone, or you're thinking that you got to deal with someone, and realize I don't have control over how my husband responds. I don't have control over what's going on in his life. But I do have control over, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to stay involved in my church. I'm going to be ministering to my kids and my grandkids. I'm going to pray for my husband. I'm going to bend over backwards and love him in any way I possibly can. I'm going to be available and open to talk with him if that's something that we can do. I'm not going to allow myself to go into the shell. Now, backing off is okay, but going into a shell can also become a controlling thing, right? I'm just not going to talk to you. And what happens over years, we start this really unhealthy cycle pattern. And the way to change it is to just don't go in the shell. Just say, hey, honey, I can see you don't want to talk. And when you do, it'd really be helpful for me and for you. And I think for both of us, ideally would be the two of you sitting down with a counselor. I always wonder, we spend a lifetime and then we die. And if we're a follower of Christ, we go to heaven. Why do we want to spend 60, 70, 80 years on the world not talking to the person that we sleep with every night? Doesn't make any sense to be able to sit down and talk about my hurts and my heart or get some help for myself so I'm able to do these things. That's really intentional living. That's why our heart really goes out to everyone today. We all have struggles in our relationships. I get it. That's part of life. But to be able to break through and be mature, both of us to be able to sit down and say, hey, we want something better in our relationship. All right. I'll tell you what, Tracy, hang on. I'm going to let you talk to Stephen. Maybe your husband's interested, maybe not. That's fine. But if you want to come to our Night of Hope coming in to Glendale down the road from, sounds like from where you are, we're going to be there. I'm going to be there along with some great music, a great evening. On June the 6th, love to have you come as our guest. Come and be a part of it. Hopefully your husband would come. I'd love to have both of you and be there just to encourage you. I won't put anybody on the spot. Just a night for the two of you. So hang on. Let's take a break, Jennifer. All right? And we'll be right back.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our lives, we are in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
A night of music, laughter, and hope. It's Family Life Radio's Night of Hope, Friday, June 6th with Dr. Randy Carlson.
You can experience more peace and hope and joy in your relationships, and I'm going to show you how to do that at the Night of Hope.
You'll also hear inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale. Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at myflr.org.
Hey, get the tickets. We're going to have a great night. Just down to 3 weeks now. Don't miss out. And it's going to be a great evening. TheIntentionalLife.com. We're talking about the weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship. And I'll tell you, our immediate response is to think about someone else and not ourselves. Because we don't see ourselves as being maybe the controlling person, but we can be. And as I mentioned, it's not just the kind of negative emotions of being angry or, you know, those kinds of things, but it can be moodiness or being withdrawn or being critical. These are things that we can do. And in the process, that's weakness. It's not maturity. You know, the Bible says we're to be self-controlled. Here are some strength measurements for you. Are you self-controlled when it comes to your emotions and your reactions? Are you engaged in the relationship? In other words, you're willing to be engaged, stay engaged, talk about things, sit down, don't demand, but available. Are you vulnerable? Huge. I'm wrong. Will you forgive me? Tell me more. I'd like to understand. Are you willing to grow and change? Growth and change. That's maturity. And being able to set healthy boundaries in a relationship.
All right, let's get to the calls. 888-1717. Sounds like Erica, you're admitting you're maybe the person that's got a control issue. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm starting to think that I have severe OCD and problems like controlling my life and showing my emotions. And I was told I'm bipolar, been to the psych ward, and they've been putting me on all kinds of medications. And I know that that's not me. I went through emergency. I actually died in October, and they found me unconscious with my two babies there. And I've not been the same since. I basically woke up and was home alone for 2 weeks. And
are you getting help now, Erica? Are you getting help now? Are you seeing a doctor? And
I'm trying. I'm trying to reach out. I don't know where to go, what to do. I've started going to church with my best friend on Saturday nights. I'm interested in going June 6th. And I'm just mentally all over the place. People, you know, my friends are like, you're manic. You need to go on your meds. And
okay.
Like, no, the meds are what make me crazy, you know?
Yeah, right. But you got on the meds by talking to a doctor, right?
Right.
All right. And you know who that doctor is?
Right.
Okay. Does it make sense that you should stay in touch with that doctor and then let him or her sort of guide maybe getting you some treatment or getting you some additional help or someone you can talk to and try to process this? Because what I hear, you're admitting that, which is huge. You're just saying, hey, my life is feeling like it's not so much in control, but out of control.
Scarling out of control. I just go downhill when an emergency happens. I don't know how to handle it. And then I had to spend Mother's Day the next
day. Yeah, but see, then this is why it's important for you, Erica, to get some help for yourself, because you're admitting here, hey, I'm not in control of where I need to be. You know, I need to be able to live my life and be the person I need to be, and there's help available. And, you know, when we're talking about control today, we're kind of focusing in that area where, you know, we don't feel out of control, but we just feel like maybe we got too much control. If you're feeling that you're out of control today, that's when you've got to admit to say, hey, I need to pick up the phone. I need to talk to someone. I need that professional help because I want to get to a place where I can have self-control. I can control myself. I can be the person that God intended. So my encouragement to you, Erica, today is that you would pick up the phone, call the doctor, and begin the process of some healing in your own life again, okay? That's one thing you can do. I hope you will today. All right, let's continue to pray for Erica, okay? Kay is in Michigan. What's been your experience in controlling people?
My husband would get frustrated and vent when he was angry, and in the beginning of our marriage, it would let that, you know, upset me, and it would escalate to arguments. But after a while, I started just being still and being quiet and not letting his frustration and anger work me up, and it made a big difference in our marriage.
You chose to not respond in kind to what he would do. And what happened when you started to do that in your marriage?
He would apologize afterwards, and then we were able to talk about it. So it was more of a, you know, calm talking rather than, it just changed our communication, and it just made a big difference.
And about how long have you been doing this in your marriage now?
Well, we've only been married for 10 years, so, like 8 years now. So it's just, it's like we're adults.
You're all grown up now, right?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I appreciate the call. You know, we're talking about control today, and we see everything from the call that says, hey, I'm feeling out of control completely, to I admit that I'm feeling too much in control. And Satan loves to camp in both of those places. And in either way, you may need to get some help. And what I mean, assistant, someone who can sit down and encourage you and talk with you and be with you during this this time in your life. I shared with the staff yesterday a whole lesson on this topic of control. And I ended with the serenity prayer that many of you know, especially those of you who have been through Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know that this prayer has a paragraph we all have heard, but then it goes on. There's a full prayer here that's really powerful. And I think with a minute and a half to go in the show today, I'd like to read it to you. For those of you who are feeling like you need to be in control of everything, listen to the words of this prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it be. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever. Amen. What a powerful reminder to us that we control so very little. And that's really the heart message. I'll tell you what, we just began to scratch the surface on this topic. And so I'd like to continue on for tomorrow. And I would invite you to call. And we'll record to share your story. Maybe you just admit, hey, I've been too controlling. I realize this is something I got to get a handle on if I want my marriage to continue to work or my relationship with my kids. We can be controlling in the workplace with our kids, with others. And we got some more help for you. We'll get into that again tomorrow. Your comments are welcome as well. 888-888-1717 is my number. Intentional Living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media, and it comes to you every day right here from our Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we have one goal, one passion, one desire from our ministry, and that's to help you experience your life every day, including today, the way God intended. That's with less regret, less feeling that I have to control, more peace, more purpose, more direction. And I don't think that's something that's beyond our reach when we trust the Lord, because He's given us hope and a future, right? All right, we got to run. Thank you. And the phone line is reopened for taping for tomorrow, 888-888-1717. Thank you for being a part of the ministry, and a big special hug of appreciation to all of you who pray for and support the ministry of Intentional Life Media and Intentional Living. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow with more on dealing with control in our lives.